This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So a think tank, the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, has proposed earmarking 5% of tobacco and alcohol taxes, and that's an estimated $290 million for additional health funds, and that's ahead of the tabling of Budget 2019. So right now, the sin tax kind of just gets lumped in.
With all the other taxes.
Yes, exactly. And so what this is proposing is that we actually take some of that out. And I guess the question here really is whether or not you want to see that happen, or whether or not you want to see that going towards paying our debt, and getting the country back on track.
Yeah. No, I like the idea. I mean, in the sense that he's not, or the Galen Institute, the Galen Center is not saying all of the sin tax, right? Not all 6 billion or so that we're going to get in 2018, just 5% of it. And
yes,
for me, I think that kind of works. We're carving out a little bit, and that 5% is a lot of money. It's 290 million. And that could go towards these sorts of programs, especially targeted towards alcoholism and smoking and cancer research related to those issues.
So I think what they've proposed is non-communicable diseases. So
right,
that's looking specifically at cancer and diabetes, and of course, both of which are big, big health issues in our country. Now, what we want to hear from you is, would you want a part of the sin taxes that you're paying to be used to address health issues? And if not, what would you rather see it spent on? Do you think that we need to be funneling it, you know, towards repaying our debt? Or is it okay to set some apart for health? That number to call, 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
So the non-communicable diseases, we should mention, the Galen Center gave us some statistics as well. They account apparently for about 73% of total deaths. And, you know, things like diabetes, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, obesity and cancer. There's an interesting thing. I mean, just purely anecdotal. My sister is a doctor and she spent many years working in the UK. And she said one of the most jarring things, she's been back in Malaysia for about 8 to 10 years now. And one of the most jarring things about seeing patients in Malaysia is that she found the degree of these non-communicable patients, diseases among younger patients in Malaysia was a lot higher than what she saw in the UK.
That's sad.
Yeah. So younger Malaysians have heart disease, have diabetes, have hypercholesterolemia, and stress, diet, a whole barrage of things are causing this, right?
We're going to be finding out more about this proposal by speaking to Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of Galen Center for Health and Social Policy. Azrul, thank you so much for joining us. As we kind of alluded to earlier, there would be pros and cons to earmarking our sin taxes for health purposes, and those were listed in Galen's report. But zooming into that, is it that the tax collected could instead be utilized to increase general government revenue, given that the government constantly tells us that we're in a tight state of finances at the moment? Why is it, do you think, we should earmark revenue from the sin tax for health purposes specifically?
Actually, nowhere is this a more important time to actually argue for the earmarking, or as Charles Santiago has put it recently in Parliament, ring-fencing the budgets relating to health. Because one of the things that a budget that is formulated in the way that Malaysia puts together its health budget is that it could be vulnerable to situations like what Malaysia is currently in, where the health budget could also be subject to reductions or removal of certain budget items that could drastically affect the health outcomes of Malaysians who are accessing that healthcare facility or services. So certainly when you look at what we're arguing here, which is the excise duties imposed on cigarettes, tobacco products and alcohol, arguably this is revenue that is quite consistent yearly for the government, and it's something that it can depend on to ensure that there is additional budget linked back to some of those health programs that it very well much needs. And this is especially when we look at non-communicable diseases. In this particular case, we specify diabetes and cancer as being two diseases which we believe for this pilot project should be considered for earmarking and to benefit from that earmarking.
Talk to us about why that 5% from alcohol and tobacco taxes could really make a difference to the state of our health funds.
Well, relatively, when you look at the overall amount of money, 5% of the excise duty collected is really, what, 290 million. When you compare that against the overall budget of 30 billion, which has been proposed for 2019, this is something that would be a small portion, really, of the larger budget. But I think when you earmark it for a specific purpose, it actually helps us to ensure that that money is spent for a specific initiative needing those additional funds. I can't stress enough that today, when the government makes decisions concerning what is available for the treatment of disease, it's not necessarily based on what is needed, but what can we afford. And that's a tricky approach because Malaysia is an upper middle income country. We're just a few thousand dollars away from being a high income country. So we really should be finding a way to ensure that we're able to afford the kind of treatment that is upper middle income country that is able to take care of its citizens and be able to provide the kind of healthcare that we deserve.
But why do you think we've not started to earmark revenues for health so far, given that at least 80 countries are already doing so?
Well, you know, it's something that we may not have really seriously considered because in many other countries that are resource poor or needing to find innovative ways to find revenue, earmarking has been explored and even recommended by the World Health Organization for the purposes of health. In the Malaysian context, we've been very fortunate all this while to have a substantial amount of money that's been allocated for health. And at the end of the day, we haven't actually disputed the amount that is very much needed. But the government has highlighted over the past couple of years now, the crushing burden that is represented by the NCD, the non-communicable diseases, and the fact that very often 70% of today's deaths are actually caused by these NCDs. So you're looking at a very high burden towards the national budget in dealing with these diseases, and therefore, arguably, you could say that we are actually strapped for cash today. And we need to find an innovative way to find that additional revenue to support these programs. And this earmark proposal could very well be that innovative approach.
What have been the outcomes in countries which are earmarking for health?
The good thing is that many other countries have already done this earmarking and have been very much successful. Australia was one of the first countries that started back in 87, I believe. And we have countries around us like Thailand and Philippines who have already started doing it or have already had several years of earmarking revenues from these sin industries for the purposes of health. And they've very much been successful in securing a consistent and dependable budget that contributes to the overall health expenditure for the country. So for Malaysia, I would argue that this money could be purposed for the support of NCD health promotion programs to fund innovative treatment for new drugs. And most importantly, I would say, is to invest in effective programs which actually work. At the end of the day, when you look at how much money we actually invest in public awareness programs, it's just not enough.
And how do you think the funds could be best managed if we were to implement this in Malaysia?
Well, you know, this is a very interesting question because in other countries, the public is very much concerned as to how these monies are spent. Now, to a certain degree, the Malaysian public has been very much, how shall we say, putting their trust in the government to know how to spend those excise duties. We've never really questioned how that sin tax money is actually being spent. However, the current situation today where we have a significant trust deficit between the public and the Malaysian government could actually represent an opportunity for us to look at ways where we can have a multi-sectoral committee or mechanism to monitor the expenditure of these excise duties. Of course, this would be something that would be led by the Ministry of Health, but it would involve perhaps civil society, stakeholders, public health specialists, and most importantly, patients themselves. But, you know, it's important for me to state here that we've done quite a number of informal surveys, straw polls with audiences, with speaking with different people. And the informal results from our gathering of how people feel about the utilization of Syntex money is that the Malaysian public is very much supportive of the idea of using money that's collected from these SIM industries for the purposes of strengthening Malaysia's health response. So this is certainly something that we should be able to take up. And today, the financial situation for the country, it could very well be that motivator that enables for us to actually consider this initiative to boost up our health budget.
Azrul, thank you so much for sharing your perspective. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. And we did ask you, you know, whether or not you support this proposal.
Yes.
We would like to hear from you. Would you want a part of the SIN taxes you are paying to be used to address health issues? And if not, what do you want to see it spent on, right? And we have got Yong on the line. Hi, Yong. Thanks for calling us back. What are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm not contributing any to the SIN tax because I don't have any of those vices.
Okay.
Okay. I just give my 2 cents worth. Lah.
Sure.
Well, you've heard from the straight from the horse's mouth is crushing burden. So if we can channel to fund to whichever, which is priority. See, it doesn't matter whether it's health or whatever it is, or the repaying the debt.
Mm. So, in other words, I guess the importance here is just that it is collected and therefore
right.
used in a good way. Is that
right.
is that
right.
what you're getting at? Right.
Right. And then, I mean, prioritize, huh? Whichever urgently needs it.
Mm. But would you say that 5% of, you know, in terms of...
Because it feels like a small percentage.
Yeah. You
okay.
know, would you say it's okay?
You say 5%. Is the industry in billions?
Yes, it's a 6.1 billion and 5% will account for about 290 million, for example, in 2018.
Well, okay, so do you think that 300 million is good enough?
I think it's a step in the right direction. It's it's more than we have.
You're taking it from straight from my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right, Yong, thank you so much for calling. We've also got messages that have come in via WhatsApp, anonymous, saying definitely for health. We will never be able to pay off the debt in our lifetime. The little bit that we channel off for health goes a long way versus, you know, if we're just leaving it to pay the debt.
Yeah, it's like just throwing a small penny into a really big hole, right?
Yes. Eugene says Malaysian politics after May 9th has been so much more interesting. I think that's in reference to Lim Guan Eng.
Yes.
And in the meantime, on the syntax, I wouldn't mind the monies being funneled for health purposes since public health care keeps getting budget cuts almost every time when healthcare fees have been increasing. Jessica says, I'm all for the syntax. Go ahead. You have all our support. It can partly be used to pay our debts and some to address our health issues. So, I mean, 5% is what is the ask.
And, you know, the rising cost of healthcare is not something that just affects you if you go for private healthcare, because the rising cost of healthcare means the government is also paying more when it is providing you with subsidized health services, right? So part of this, when it goes to preventative medicine, is going to go a long way to kind of curbing that spending as well.
So Misa says, I'm on to use for health issues, but not for health issues that happen because of unhealthy lifestyles, such as smoking, alcohol, or too much sugar, as unhealthy lifestyles can be controlled by the individual. And I think a lot of people do feel this way, that, you know, if you smoke, it's what you said earlier, if you smoke, you're choosing to smoke, you're choosing to do that. But I do think we should acknowledge that these are addictions and maybe... taking a hardline approach isn't always the right way.
That's true. But also, I think when it comes to conditions such as heart disease, hypercholesterolemia, and diabetes, genetics has a lot to do with it.
Yes,
so there are
exactly.
contributing factors. But you could actually be super slim, a vegan, not smoke or drink, and still end up with diabetes and heart disease,
that's
right?
That's the thing. And just because you look like you... may fall into those categories. I don't know. I just find it a tricky thing to balance.
Also, same with obesity, right?
Yes, absolutely. do keep your messages coming in. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. What would you like to see the syntax used for, if not for health? Keep it coming. In the meantime, The Temptations, I Can't Get Next to You, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.